the gospel. My time isn't, I don't have that much time this morning that I really feel I need for this particular sermon that I have prepared. So I've got one in my head, and I'm hoping it comes out like it should. So let's pray, and then we'll begin. Loving Father, we are grateful together as your people. We are amazed, at least we ought to be, for the grace that you've extended to us, that we may know you. How wonderful that is, that at any point in time we can cry out, you will hear, you will answer, you will meet the need, you'll comfort the heart. Father, there are those today in this congregation and some outside that are hurting. I pray your blessing and help on them. We have those that are approaching surgeries and stuff. I think of Tracy Van Inkenvoort this week, shoulder surgery Wednesday. Others that are struggling with their health, and we especially lift up those, I think, especially of Paul Ray. And minister to our brother today and to his wife and to others that are, many are in the same boat, struggling along. But thank you that you're there and you have a purpose and you have a plan. And that you'll take us through it. And you'll use, if we'll respond as we should and look for the openings, early opportunities for us to lift your name on high, to proclaim you. And so we ask for that. Pray, Father, for your word, that it would go forth today in a powerful way, that would accomplish what you would desire it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, just a couple scriptures I want to focus on this morning. One is from Romans 10, Romans the 10th chapter. I just want to read a verse to you from that scripture. And then I want to move right over to the text that Pastor Wes was in and mention a couple other things there. Romans 10, verse 1. This is the heart of God expressed through the Apostle Paul. And he had a deep desire for those who have yet to come to faith in Christ. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." He's talking about the nation Israel. He's talking about those people who were his brothers in that way. He says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is this, they might be saved." When you see the writing in Ephesians 2, as he expresses it, the Apostle Paul expresses himself in mentioning what once was true of those apart from faith in Christ, and then what they have and how that's changed, you can understand why he would have that heart's desire. We have, as a Bible church, we have proclaimed Christ through the years. I want you to know that we are grateful that God has kept this church centered on the Word of God. And that is all by His grace, folks. It is. And that's His good pleasure toward us, or His good hand on us, if you would. And I have a desire too this morning. It's ours. It's continuing that we might know, that we might know that we know Him. And that if someone asks you, if you knew today for sure, if you died, if you'd spend eternity in heaven, that you might be able to answer that absolutely because of what God has offered, my response to that and what He said. But many can't say that, can they? There are those that would say, I hope so. I'm kind of thinking that maybe that's the case. But there's no more important question than how is one justified before God? Or it's a question we talked about in Sunday school for just a moment this morning. Well, we might put it in these terms. How can a person be right with God? That's really the question. Because for all of us, there'll be a day when we step into eternity. And none of us know about tomorrow. None of us know when that day will come. Ephesians 2:1 describes what it is to be apart from faith in Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Friends, let's not forget, if you know Christ, this is where we once were. Every morning when I come into the office, just down the road here, there's a deer that met fate with, I believe, a vehicle. And it's in the ditch there. I noticed that one day when I was going home, that there were some eagles and some crows, and I thought, well, what's going on? And I noticed that there's a carcass there. And they are taking their nourishment from that carcass. And with the wild game dinner coming up, that was just a little late for me. They'd taken the best parts. So But I want you to know something about that carcass. It's just bones today. And it is no more than a carcass. There was nothing. There was no life there at all. It just lay there in the ditch. Paul says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This is one of the hardest things for a person apart from Christ to get, okay? That we have nothing that will allow us an entrance into heaven. There's nothing in us that we can present to God where God will say, hey, that's great. You're right with me. Matter of fact, I didn't really need to send my son. But we forget, see, all of us think there's something there. We somehow can earn our way, our favor. We can somehow make it by doing something in order to be right with God. That's what we want inside, deep inside. That's really where we go often. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says, there's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and does not sin. All of us are in the same boat in that realm. And even if we could do something to make ourselves right with God, where would that come from? That would come from a sinful heart. And who would it be for? It would really be for us. It really wouldn't be as a response to a great and holy God. It's really this, I'm gonna do something so he would have to say, I'm okay. But God says this, look, I just want you to understand this. Matter of fact, not only were you dead, there's no response, there's no life, but you really were directed by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience. We are directed apart from Christ by our flesh, but also by the devil. And that's what it's saying here. You say, no, I'm free. I'm doing what I want to do and living how I want to live. Well, you may be living how you want to live, but there's an undercurrent that is steering you. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived. So no one in this church is above remembering that we once were dead, just like that carcass next to the road. No life in us at all. We too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, verse 3, even as the rest. It's a frightening verse. The last part of that verse, people die every day. And there are only two kinds of people in this world. The scripture says that there are those who have life, those that know Christ, and there are those that have no life. They are this carcass. Then they are in line to incur the wrath of Almighty God. We don't go to many funerals where it is said that that person died without Christ and they are headed for a Christless eternity and they are under the wrath of God. But sometimes maybe it ought to be said, because that is the reality. When a person dies without Christ, they are headed for a Christless eternity. And according to Luke 16, with the rich man and his brothers, he begged that his brothers may not suffer the same fate as him. He didn't want anyone to face that. So if you're here without Jesus Christ today, here's a solemn warning and a solemn truth. You're in danger, and the wrath of God is now upon you. And you're a breath away from experiencing that. That's a sobering truth. Many will step into a Christless eternity today. But you still have life. You have this moment. And you can come to faith today in Him. And be released. Be forgiven. Be set free. To really live. I love this interruption in verse 4, don't you? Aren't you glad that God didn't leave us with those three verses and say, end of book, end of the story? Look at verse 4. God being rich in mercy. Why? Because of His great love. Because of His great, great love. So He's rich, rich in mercy, withholding what we deserve, an eternity under His wrath. But he's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, when we had nothing to offer to him, when we had no life, look what he did. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. You know, Jesus rose again, never to die again. He's alive. He's risen. Absolutely. And when we came to faith in Christ, God saw us as risen and alive in him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Just as death has no more dominion over him, and he lived never to die again, so us in Christ are alive forevermore, friend, forevermore, through faith in him. Not through something that we've offered to God, not through some work, some religious activity we've been involved in. No, no. It's through this. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. God, will you save me? I accept this gift of eternal life. And the Scripture is clear. If we cry out, he will save us. Look, he's made us alive together. He says, verse 6, raised us up with him, seated us with him. Seated us with him. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. That is what God has given. That is what God offers. See? And if you're here today without Christ, this is God's great offer to you. You might say, well, sometimes it is our struggle to think, are we really lost? Are we really in line to incur the wrath of God? Sometimes that's our struggle. At other times it's this, no, I see it. I'm such an awful sinner, God could never and would never save me. That is not true. There's not a person beyond the great life-giving sacrifice that God offers. See, and he says he's raised us up. If you're in Christ today, Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. I love the book of Ephesians. We're seated in the heavenlies. No, we're here now. That's true. But how does God see us in Christ? He sees us there. Isn't that beautiful? And our hearts rejoice in that. And it says in verse 7, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are forever going to be on display as those who have been touched by his grace for his glory. And then it says, here's the how does this happen? For by grace, verse 8, you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's by grace. God extends mercy. He withholds the judgment we deserve. And then he just opens his arms and hearts in his heart to pouring out on us grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. To each of you, he offers this. What does it look like? It's the gift of eternal life. And it's just that, a gift. And with any gift, you have a response to that gift that you can make. It is either I'll reach out and take it. You can reject it. I guess there's more than a couple responses. Sometimes you can say, well, I'll give you something for it. Well, if we give something for it, it's no longer a gift, is it? And God says, look, I've got a gift. It is the gift of God. This, you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. Again, it's not of you. It's not of me. When I came to faith in Christ, I simply said, I need a Savior. I couldn't offer him nothing. If you're the best person in the world, you can't offer him anything. It's a gift. So reach out and take it. And that's what his offer is with any gift. You just open your hands up and your heart up here in this case, and you receive it. Not as a result of works. See, again, there's not a work that you can't do penance enough to the point that God would say, oh, okay, you're good to go. No, it's not that at all. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. And then finally, I want to say, if it was a couple things here, if it was a result of works, we all would boast, wouldn't it? We'd line up and tell the stories. You think fishing and hunting stories or something? You've not heard nothing, right? We'd say, hey, well, I did this and this and this and this and this. What'd you do? And the first guy wouldn't stand a chance. And on it would go. But it's not that. It's glory to God and nothing else. Sinners, in line to incur the wrath of God, reach out in faith, and God saves them. Where are you today, friend? There are some of you here today. Some of you are here today that have yet to come to faith in Christ. And today is the day. Today's the day. Why not? What is keeping you from today saying, you know what? I've been hearing this. I know about it. I've been thinking and thinking and thinking. Let's quit thinking. God offers you the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And I want to invite you today to receive that gift. Brothers and sisters, you who know Him, we say praise God for what He's done. But this is our message to a lost and dying world. We've been in the book of Acts, and these guys, they keep preaching it and teaching it and preaching it and teaching it. And God's adding daily to the numbers of those being saved. And that's what we must do. To our neighbors, to our families, for our friends, for those around us, we proclaim it. And finally, I want to encourage each of you in Christ. Listen, if you're here today and you say, I know Christ, look at verse 10. This is sort of the forgotten verse of this section. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. God has a plan, a purpose. Where do good works come in all this? It's after you come to faith in Christ. You have a citizenship that is different. You have a place that is different. You're seated in the heavenlies. And you have a life that is different here and now. It's all about serving God. It's about working this faith out and seeing, where do I fit in? What good works has He called me to? Because when you come to faith, is it not true that He says He's got some works for us to do? We are creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. This is the worthy walk that God calls us to, is to do what He's called us to do, to take advantage of every opportunity. I want to give those that have yet to come to faith in Christ today an opportunity right now to do that, okay? Right where you're at. If God is speaking to your heart, listen, I want to say something to you. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't do that. I remember there was a man that I witnessed to. I loved this guy. I worked with him. He was a wonderful young man. And I had opportunity with him when he was in his later years in high school and in college. He was a great guy. And I would share the gospel with him. And I'd say, you know, what's to keep you from coming to Christ today? I'm going to think about it. Maybe someday. Well, think about it. Maybe someday. This is years ago. As far as I know, this wonderful young man, who's not so young now, has yet to come to faith in Christ. He was stirred, and he's thinking about it, and that's something he should do, but it has not yet come. Don't be that person. If God is speaking to you today, right now is the moment. Right now is the time. You need to come to faith now. And right where you're at, in your pew, you can cry out something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm asking You to save me. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you know what God will do? He will do just that. Right now, right here, this group of believers would embrace you and say, praise God. Welcome to the family. We want that for you. Because apart from that, let's remember this. That you are in line to incur the wrath of God. It makes no sense to say, I'll put it off. It makes no sense to say, well, maybe someday. Today's the day. Today's the day. I don't believe God stirred my heart to preach this message when I have something else planned. If it's not that there's someone here or a number of people here today that need to come. And some of you right now, you know. And you need to come now to faith in Jesus Christ. And when you do, let us know. Because the scripture says, there's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And we want to join that heavenly rejoicing. We want to do that with you. And we want to welcome you to the family. So do you know where you're going to spend eternity, my friend? And what are you thinking? Are you thinking, oh, I've done enough? You can't do enough. And God is saying, today, come to faith in my Son. He loves you enough to send Jesus Christ. And I would ask that you would consider today, that this day, would be the day that I said, yes, I reached out in faith and accepted that gift of eternal life. Would that be you today? I hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would minister this word in a powerful way to those who have yet to come to faith in you. There's a sobering reality here this morning, and your word has said it, that without Christ, we are directed by the prince of the power of the air, the devil. And without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, we're in line to incur the wrath of your wrath, the wrath of Almighty God, who's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the truth is, many will say, not today, not now, maybe someday, and then they'll breathe their last and step into hell, having missed the opportunity. Father, for those who have yet to come to faith, today, would you stir their hearts? Would you move in them? Would you give them the courage to reach out and take that gift of eternal life? Will you allow them to see their sin, that apart from Christ, they can't be right with you? And Father, for my brothers and sisters, would we examine our hearts again today about a worthy walk and about the proclamation of this message that is still setting men and women, boys and girls, free from the wages of sin? Bless all, I would pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm going to do is go ahead and dismiss you. I'm going to stay to the front. Now, some may have a question about something that's been said. Maybe you're not sure how I can know that I have eternal life. If that's you, you come. If it is that, hey, today I got it, I understood it, and I want to talk to you about it a minute, you come as well. Other than that, you're dismissed. God bless each of you.